Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Ron and Don Show. My name is Don Allen in Studio A, and then over in Studio B with his entourage is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Good morning, Ms. Edwards. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Allen. And I have to tell you that we were scooping left and right. We have caught the Star Tribune plagiarizing a story that actually we were breaking last night across the country. But we will talk about that. It's a sports kind of thing. But we have some things. You want to go with a piece to honor our beloved Elijah Cummings, then I'd like to go with the sports piece, if you will. And then we have this intercept that is in our studio of an interesting meeting in which people were trying to cover up what happened to all that money for the Savings and Loan Corporation that didn't get off the ground. I understand we have a couple of names that we'll be reviewing, right? That clearly
yep.
were members of the board. Yay! Oh, Lord have mercy. But in the spirit of our respect and deference to the beloved Elijah Cummings, I understand my associate, Mr. Allen, has a piece. So go ahead, Don. Go ahead with it.
Yeah, and as our listeners know, most of you, unless you live under a rock, earlier this week, Congressman Elijah Cummings passed away. He was a very articulate leader during the civil rights movement, especially for people to vote, especially for black people to vote. He said on his mother's deathbed that his mother said, "Don't let them take our vote away." Some of you from the right, my colleagues, argue that Baltimore was a terrible district. People were poor, but it was broken poor before he got there. And until something's really done with all the presidents, conservative or not, that have been through there, you know, it still looks the same way. So we're not going to get on him, but we're going to respect his rich history. But I wanted to play something, Mr. Edwards. It's 3 minutes long, and if every politician has its mindset, Republican, Democrat, Green, Independent, Blue, whatever, I think we'd be in a lot better shape today. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and play this three-minute cut.
When we hear about stories coming out from you and your agency that everything is pretty good and you're doing a great job, I guess you feel like you're doing a great job, right? Is that what you're saying?
We're doing our level best in a very challenging.
What does that mean? What does that mean when a child is sitting in their own feces, can't take a shower? Come on, man. What's that about? None of us would have our children in that position. They are human beings. We are the United States of America. We are the greatest country in the world. We are the ones that can go anywhere in the world and save people. Make sure that they have diapers. Make sure that they have toothbrushes. Make sure that they're not laying around defecating in some silver paper. Come on. We're better than that. But I'm just saying to you, I want to first of all thank you. I know that this has been hard. I know that you face a lot. I know that you are worried about your family. But this is a part of your destiny. And hopefully, this portion of your destiny will lead to a better Michael Cohen, a better Donald Trump, a better United States of America, and a better world. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. When we're dancing with the angels, the question will be asked, in 2019, what did we do to make sure we kept our democracy intact? Did we stand on the sidelines and say nothing 1 year ago today? On my mother's dying bed at 92 years old, former sharecropper, her last words were, "Do not let them take our votes away from us. They had fought, she had fought and seen people harmed, beaten, trying to vote. Talk about inalienable rights. Voting is crucial. And I don't give a damn how you look at it. There are efforts to stop people from voting. That's not right. This is not Russia. This is the United States of America. And I will fight until the death to make sure every citizen, whether they're Green Party, whether they're Freedom Party, whether they're Democrat, whether they're Republican, whoever has that right to vote. Because it is the essence of our democracy.
For our listening audience, that was the voice in front of a committee chaired by the beloved Congressman Elijah Cummings of Baltimore, Maryland, who passed from this life just a couple of days ago. He talked about his 92-year-old mother and her final, quote-unquote, request of him to protect the rights of all Americans to participate in the democratic process, being able to vote. As he pointed out, this is not Russia. A great man, Mr. Allen, be we from the right or the left, a great American, a great American, at age 68, and passed from this life. He will be sorely missed in many different camps, if you will, starting with the Congress of the United States itself, the Democratic Party, his fellow colleagues who have spoken highly of him in the Congress of the United States. He's one of those great voices that you really cannot, particularly at this time, you cannot afford to lose in this nation if we are going to be able to maintain some path to quote-unquote equality and et cetera. A beautiful piece that you and your staff recovered from the archives, Mr. Allen. I want to thank you.
Thank you, sir. We just had to play that. That was very important that people hear that. Thank you. And with that said, Mr. Edwards, we have a lot of breaking information today, and I think that we should move on into it.
Yes, we do. And just while we were on one of our other phones, you and I talking, I received a call on the secure line, the Star Tribune, attempting to undermine the Don and Ron press gathering group, if you will, with information. We'll be touching on that. Hopefully over the next 4 or 5 minutes. But I've been getting calls from individuals asking when are we going to touch on some of the sports information that's going on, particularly African-Americans such as LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers and others who are standing up for the right of the African-American to be able to speak out on issues important. And again, LeBron James speaking out on the quote-unquote misrepresentations made by the general manager of the Houston Rockets of the NBA, LeBron James coming under attack as if he does not have the right to speak. We join with him, if you will, and you know, maybe in the next couple of weeks we will have to analyze and dissect what is really going on in Hong Kong, because this positioning by the American media as if they're concerned about what is happening with regards to the demonstrations, to me, is kind of fake, if you know what I mean. But also, we have been asked here at the Don and Ron Saturday morning program to address our feelings about what happened in a football game involving the Kansas City Chiefs of the National Football League in the American Division, in which the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs jeopardized the career Pat Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes has ties to the Twin Cities. His father, Patrick Sr., was a pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, if you will. A good ball player, had an excellent career in Major League Baseball. Patrick Mahomes actually should never really have had to suit up, if you will. And they have backup quarterbacks. Should have sent one of them in. Mahomes is just that important to Kansas City, being able to make it into the Super Bowl. They are one of the two teams in the American Conference of the National Football League that are on a path to be playing the Super Bowl, the other one, the New England Patriots. I was just thoroughly disgusted, Don, with regard to sacrificing Mahomes. We had a player by the name of Robert Griffin III, RG. Heck of a ball player out of Texas, if you will, Bradley, if I'm not mistaken. And his white coach, the Washington so-called Redskins. I don't know what a Redskin is other than it's an absolute negative. RG3 was put in the game when he had a slight knee injury. He should have never been played. This was about, 4 years ago. Ended his career, if you will. He suffered a second injury to that knee. It caused him to lose many of his skills and et cetera. And no one talks about that. And I just could not believe that that Andy Reid, a white coach, Kansas City Chiefs, would have so little regard for quote unquote future of Pat Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes, as he did to put him in the game, and now he's looking at the possibility of being out for 5 to 6 weeks, but possible permanent damage to his kneecap and his knee. And I just don't understand it, but I know that the National Football League has great powers, that they are able to do whatever they want to do. They control the media. That's the reason that I'm really amused by the article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune this morning, which is really a story that, quote-unquote, came from the Don and Ron program in Minneapolis. It's not a story that the Star Tribune knew anything about. And if anybody asked us the question, we're going to tell everything, Don, to this afternoon. Now, also, we understand we have coming up a heck of a recording, an intercept by your people of an interesting meeting in North Minneapolis last night, trying to cover up the disappearance of as much as $1.3 million. And I think we'll be having that at the top of the hour. So the people that are interested could, you know, continue to stay with us, if you will, because there's a lot of funny things going on. This also comes on the heels of continued death in Minneapolis and St. Paul as it pertains to a action that is out of control. And let me just say this, Mr. Allen, we talked about it in the production meeting. Our prayers go out to a woman and her unborn child who were killed in North Minneapolis two nights ago by a crazy man driving at over 90 miles an hour, hits her car, kills her unborn child, and et cetera. And nothing from the mayor of this city. We do have a mayor, don't we, Don, over here? We know that you got one in St. Paul named Melvin Carter. I'm not sure if we have a mayor or a city council over here in Minneapolis, if you will, okay? But no one has said anything with regards to the death of this woman, this mother-to-be, and her unborn child. And just as we've done with that excellent piece by Elijah Cummings, speaking as chair of the Government Oversight Committee, blasting, quote-unquote, those who have no recognition. And what he was talking about, to clarify for the audience, were those children of color, who were being held and still are being held, as we speak, Mr. Allen, in detention centers in the southern part of the United States of America, though some have been moved to other locations, they've been separated from their parents and et cetera. And everybody puts their finger up to their lips and says, shouldn't talk about that. It is a sad day, man. But again, a great American. I want to just do this again, Mr. Allen. A great American, Elijah Cummings, Democrat of Baltimore, who passed from this life a couple days ago at age 68. You know what I'm saying? So just want to kind of lay that out. Do we have any calls? Now, maybe some people may want to question us on a couple of those and the upcoming stories on apparently the disappearance of $1.3 million in monies. So, you know, a lot of phone lines are open, man. Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, that number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. The phone lines are wide open. Give us a call if you have a question, comment, or concern. I would like to challenge us, which never happens, but we are here for you. Thank you very much.
Yes,
yeah, Mr.
Yes,
Edwards,
yes.
I was kind of shocked just quickly here. I just stumbled across the story by Liber Jenny about the number of crashes in the metro area and how they kind of soft-shoed. They made her a pull quote from the story, you know, crash that killed a pregnant woman in the headline, but,
wow.
You know, kind of didn't get into anything. And, you know, the city council, the city council representative of that area and others are complicit in this ongoing criminal behavior for not addressing the economic circumstances in that area. And so I think that's foul and something, you know, we got like Congressman Cummings said, you know, we have to use our vote, you know, and we need to fix it to have people in there that will listen to our concerns, not ignore us because all of a sudden now they're elected officials and they're celebrities. Thank you very much.
Yes, and man, that is a good observation, Mr. Allen. Yeah, they become celebrities. They become obsessed with the perception that they're important, if you will, and yet they're saying nothing with regards to the violence, if you will, the death of the expecting mother, and you know, and her. That they maintain that the individual that hit their car was going at least 80 miles an hour. They said it was horrible, man. It was just horrible to see her crumpled body laying in the street in North Minneapolis, if you will, torn apart, really, given the impact and et cetera. Apparently, a couple other people were injured who, like, were on the sidewalk, Mr. Allen, as cars hurtled through the air and et cetera. The deceased woman and her expected child of both killed instantly. They said it sounded like a 155 millimeter artillery shell going off, Don. As if we were over there, watching Donald Trump's good buddy the Turks kill all them Kurds over there. But anyways, I guess we're not supposed to touch on that. We're not supposed to say anything, but North Minneapolis is the last time I looked in the United States of America, a place called Minnesota, and specifically a place called Minneapolis and the North Side, and there's nothing. You have already reviewed and evaluated the article. We see the reporter what's his name? Boris Jeannie. Had
yeah.
No specific details, just talking about a car crash. Ain't that pitiful.
Yep, it's a rotten shame, dirty rotten shame. So, I am looking here now at Stars Review and a couple other websites. But, Mr. Edwards, there's one critical question I need to ask you. What's happening with our local black print media? Is it because of the infrequency? The local black print media, what is the problem with them not addressing? Are they too beholden to advertisers and people that spend money with them to print the truth or even talk about circumstances?
You sure raise a tough question, Mr. Allen. Boy, they're not supposed to touch that. because people are just too busy being. What's the new industry in environment? Hip hop? Is that what it's called? Hip hop. Well, I used to hear the term hip hop 15 years ago. In fact, they had a dude used to call him hip hop or whatever. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, he was married to an elected politician or something. But anyways, I don't even want to get into that. That was so sorted, if you will. I can't indicate what it is. You know, I do have a small column with one of the black giants of media and et cetera. And I haven't seen a single article about anything pertaining. In fact, what they've done, they've the particular paper have gone in the direction of another black paper, and that is they basically now take all their news off of the National Black Press Association's website and use it. And they're bringing columns in now and having as many as 1,500 to 2,000 words. But, you know, they're talking about something that happened, you know, in Sun Valley of, you know, California or Aspen, Colorado, or et cetera. So I think the decision has been made that they'll talk about cruises, if you will, and young ladies getting their nails done and their hair, you know, fixed up and et cetera. I don't think that there has been, other than in one column, and you know what I'm talking about, that I'm talking about yours truly. I don't think we've had an investigative report come out of the papers. The closest was McFarland's paper, where he did follow the pursuit by the organization newly founded by Spike Moss, the Freedom Group, if you will, who did put pressure on the county attorney about if they really are going to prosecute George Jensen, the white man who ran over all them black folks up there on Lindale and West Broadway back on, what was it, the 3rd or 2nd of July. As we reported here faithfully, the county attorney, Mike Freeman, one of the great prosecutors of black people, in America, indicated that he would do what he wanted to do and that his prosecutors were not going to go overboard or be too aggressive in prosecuting Mr. George Jensen, who, as he pointed out in this closed meeting that we had, that Mr. Jensen was an 83-year-old white man and that, you know, proper consideration had to be given to his circumstances. And, you know, he was sorry about it. Too bad. Negroes shouldn't have been standing in the bus stop, if you will. You know, things like that happen and et cetera. Now, this came on the heels of a similar meeting by the Spike Moss group, Harry Spike Moss, with the Met Council, in which a decision was made not to report it in any of the media, black or white. Ooh, what we weren't supposed to tell that. The black papers, were told about the meetings and et cetera and declined to carry any stories whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's a real problem when you have local black print media. You know, I mean, Ms. Edwards, on one side, I understand it because they get the bare minimum advertising and dollar, and they're not really playing in the big league, and you have people that aren't trained or are used to going after, you know, the kind of money that they should go after. So you're just keeping the lights on and keeping your people paid, underpaid, basically. And so with that said, I mean, you're picking your best massa, as I always say. Who's the best massa? This money coming in from the city, the state, the county, these nonprofit agencies, and they've almost become a nonprofit news circulation versus a news agency, and you wouldn't find that in Atlanta.
Wow, that's a heck of a narrative, Mr. Allen. But you're on point. Boy, that's interesting because that's actually what's been happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that said, Mr. Harris, we do. Our producers say that we have Steve from the Midwest, who has been holding for 8 minutes, and also M from South Minneapolis, who has been holding. So should we go ahead and
let's bring Steve in because it was his people that actually alerted us that the Star Tribune had plagiarized a story that let's get Steve in, and then we'll get with M, who we had encouraged last week to call in a little bit sooner. So go ahead, Steve. Is that you there in the Midwest?
Yeah, this is Steve from the Midwest here. Yes. Yeah, and I wanted to thank you, too, for bringing up the whole issue with Pat Mahomes, because, I mean, he's a big story down here in the Midwest. And I think national news media has kind of understand that it was kind of a risky move, the particular play that Andy Reid played and let him sneak, that quarterback sneak. And although here in the Midwest, the fans of the Chiefs really don't. They love Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid so much. They're not really talking about the controversy that kind of has come up around that. But I'm glad you mentioned it, because I think you and some of the national media have kind of picked up on just how much or how they really haven't protected Pat Mahomes the way they really should. So.
Let me ask you this question, Steve, there in the Midwest. Would Pat Mahomes have been sacrificed like that if he'd been a white quarterback?
I don't think so, because I think you brought up a good point about RG3, too, and how that all happened, and it basically ruined his career. Pat Mahomes kind of looked. I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen now. His knee cap was dislocated. The MRI said that there wasn't any significant damage. He'll be out maybe 4 to 6 weeks now. But we really don't know. He may have to come back. He may have to come back with a brace or something.
That's what I was getting ready to ask you, Steve, there in the Midwest, because all of a sudden, that's the same thing they did to RG3 that cost him his career and millions of dollars as a player, because when he suffered that second injury, I was watching that game that night.
Yeah.
In fact, it was a Sunday night game, and he had – They hit him on that knee and just, you know, finished tearing it apart. The NFL, which I tell you what, this NFL is very powerful. They can keep a lid on anything they want. And the NFL really played a game for a couple years with RG3 by making it appear that he was still a attractive commodity, or in this case, you know, a piece of flesh, a slave, if you will. And, kind of moved him around as if they were, you know, trying to get him established. But everyone who had seen that second hit a couple of weeks after the first one, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think Shanahan was the coach that had nothing but indifference for his black ball players and et cetera. I thought Andy Reid was a better person than that, but I guess I was wrong. Because it was clear he knew he was sacrificing Pat Mahomes. I don't know if I were Pat Mahomes' agent and Pat Mahomes' father, who pitched here for the Minnesota Twins 20 years ago. I can still remember Patrick Jr. as a little youngster out at the ballpark. My sense is that they want to finish him off, you know what I mean, and put a brace on him. I think that he should be set down for the remainder of the year until the natural processes take place and he is back in play. But the NFL, man, is so powerful. The NFL is so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And do whatever they want to do. I really think that what all they're concerned about is just getting rid of Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, well, actually, speaking of the NFL, from what I understand, and you alluded to it just a little bit ago, what's getting ready to happen up there this coming Thursday? Because I hear this might be a large-scale protest. And this is something that there have been kind of rumors about for a little bit, but what exactly is going on there with the protest?
Well,
the
we received
protests?
Information just before we went on the air here at the Don and Ron program, and I am rather disgusted with regards to the cheekiness, if you will, of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, who actually, after a series of conversations with some of your people and some transcribing, Star Tribune, apparently, I have not seen it. I think Mr. Allen is searching for it. I have not seen the article. I understand, sir, from some of your personnel that there is an article in this morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune indicating there will be a large demonstration on Thursday evening prior to the game with the quote-unquote Washington Redskins. Am I totally correct on that before I speak on it and tell the real history of what happened here? Is that correct? Is that in this morning's edition of the paper here in our city?
I am looking, Mr. Edwards, right now.
It may.
I don't see.
I would look. It's either because it, you can.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I think on the internet there's just there was something and it was.
Oh well, there
to
it is
the
right
Star.
There on the internet. The Star Tribune's internet. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
As far as I'm
yeah.
concerned, all bets are off. Here's what the situation is, sir. The Native American. The Six Nations and the Confederation of Indigenous Tribes in Canada, et cetera, have been working, gentlemen, for a year on significant demonstrations on the occasion of the game between the Washington Redskins and the Minnesota Vikings at, quote-unquote, the so-called People's Stadium Thursday night. Now, what happened, and you're getting kind of exclusive here, Steve and Mr. Allen and myself are breaking a major story, no matter how the Star Tribune tries to post it, is that, and I guess St. Paul Pioneer Press, a year ago, a veteran journalist, not a sports writer, but he's a, in fact, he's the now the senior the senior columnist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, was doing a human interest story on Paramount Chief Clyde Belcourt, who is a legend in the indigenous communities of both the United States and Canada. This was a year ago, gentlemen, and what happened was Paramount Chief Belcourt was indicating some things that were getting ready to happen, that things were not changing, and was talking in terms of the outrageous racism of the owner of the Washington Redskins, as they are called. Redskins is a very negative connotation, and having all to do with the word N-I-G-G, if you know what I'm saying. And so Mr. Paramount Chief Belcourt had indicated that there was planning, significant planning. Well, this planning has been going on, gentlemen, for over a year. And apparently the Star Tribune intercepted some communiques involving us and they posted that then this morning or whatever on the website trying to get a foot up. There will be a significant demonstration on Thursday evening prior to the game, the Thursday night football game here between the Vikings and Washington, if you will. Now, this comes on the heels of the owner of the Washington team who has that think this has been going on for about 3 or 4 years. The Six Nations of the Native Tribes, Indigenous People, the Indigenous Confederation of Canada, and etc. And by the way, they're coming here from as far away as Yellowknife in the Yukon. Boy, they're on their way here. How many are going to arrive? I don't want to discuss it, and I do not want to discuss where the event will start, but it will wind up on the front steps of the People's Stadium, and it could lead to a serious confrontation. Observers, if you will, came in during the Trump fiasco here, in which Donald Trump came in. He left here with $5 million in donations and et cetera. The African-American so-called leadership and others did not quote-unquote, turn out until after the president had left to get on Air Force One, as we reported last Saturday from our control center here in the Twin Cities. And then they tried to battle with the police, riot police of the Minneapolis Police Department, beat them down, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all of them. But it was really a trial run for what is supposed to happen Thursday night here in the Twin Cities, if you will. And so in that, they made a mistake and did not give appropriate consideration to where that information came from. Initially, it came from our Paramount Chief Clyde Belcourt, and the AIM of the American Indian Movement, the Six Nations, and et cetera. And it came from us, if you will, mm-hmm. that this was to take place. I don't know if the security forces here are prepared to be able to deal with what's coming. If you will, again, as I said, I will not discuss the point that the groups will move in significant numbers, but it could be ugly out there because they have anticipated that our extreme right wing, quote unquote, individuals who, you know, like to go to the football game, could very well want to face off in a confrontation.
Oh, wow.
Now, this information had all been suppressed by the Minneapolis Star Tribune, all of our TV stations here, by orders of the National Football League.
Oh.
Well, that's the reason you did not. I'm sorry. Yes, sir, Mr. Allen. Go ahead, sir.
I did find the story. The Star Tribune is titled "American Indians Plan Protest Thursday When Washington Redskins Visit the U.S. the Vikings at the U.S. Bank Stadium." And I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, the comments are atrocious. I'm going to the game. Please don't get in my way. Waste of time.
Sir.
Too many other issues in this country, way more significant. You don't name a team after something you detest or think is a joke. You name it after something that you feel is a good thing, and that's a positive. You're going to nickname your team because of historical reference. Green Bay should be the toothless drunk. And last but not least, the team is actually named after red potatoes. There's 48 comments, atrocious, most of them, that just speak to the tenor, feel, and tone of a lot of the mainstream here in the Twin Cities and across the United States. I just want to let you guys know that I did find the story, and I did post it on our live feed on Facebook for people that are curious and wondering. And it was done by Rochelle Olson, our buddy Rochelle Olson at the Star Tribune.
Our buddy Rochelle Olson, the same one that went almost into a frenzy with regards to the importance of convicting Mohammed Nord and sending him to the penitentiary, as well as some other. But that makes sense because it was not Rochelle Olson that did the interview with Paramount Chief Clyde Belcourt a year ago. What happened in the last 16 hours or thereabouts, when the reporter Randy First indicated that that he had intel that this was about to happen, his editors because apparently Mr. First has been on a medical leave and does not return to work until Wednesday. And so they wanted to make sure that the right kind of reporter, and that would be Rochelle Olson, got the story. She doesn't know anything about this other than the sports writers for the Minneapolis Star Tribune had been told quite some time ago that they were not to make any mention that the Washington Redskin Minnesota Viking game was already a swirl in controversy and danger, if you will. And we now are we are now released here on the Down and Rod program, so certainly I'm saying this to you, Steve, there in the Midwest, that there are threats now that there are hardline right-wing factions that are prepared to gun down and beat down red people and their supporters in the streets of Minneapolis prior to the game. There it is. It's out there now, buddy.
Before we move on to the next caller.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
And thank you for alerting us, Steve, to it. And my associate, Mr. Allen, we found it. They thought they had buried it. They really hadn't. But there are potential for serious confrontations Thursday night in downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But thank you, sir, for calling from the Midwest. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, our producers tell us that we have M from Minneapolis. Mr. M, you're live on the Ron and Don Show. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, M. How are you doing? What you got for us?
Well, I had a couple
of things. Comment on the Redskins story?
I'm going to kind of move on from that sad situation. It should have been resolved, and I'm in full support of our Native brothers just like the issue that happened at there was supposed to be a big adoption thing for Native Americans, and it was going to be at Fort Snelling, which was the site of an internment and execution, basically, of many Native peoples. And so, they stepped up and said, no, we're not doing that. But it just shows the insensitivity of our people in charge to, they really just don't seem to care. You know, I also went to a meeting over at the Historical Society last week. There was a young man that had written a book on racism. I don't recall the name, and he was from a different state, but there are a lot of professors in there. And then something came up about reparations, and they asked the audience to say things, and I said basically reparations can't happen until they admit that they were wrong, until they admit that these atrocities happened and they were wrong. And so that hasn't happened yet. I mean, nobody stepped up and acknowledged and said that the slave trade and this was wrong. And until that happens, I don't know. We just continue to talk about that. But what was really on my mind, and I want to get back to at some point with Mr. Allen about his love affair for 45, but right now I would like to – I saw something in the paper about the Black Leg Credit Union. And the board says that it's going to open. That was in the paper this morning. And
did the Star have something in the paper on that? Well, let me just say this, even before my colleague speaks. Mr. Allen and his team, and of course we all obviously work together, has an intercept of statements being made in that meeting last night. In fact, if you have it already rolled up, Mr. Allen, in that M raised the question, I think this would be the appropriate time so that no one steps on their toes, that we play a recording of the meeting last night in which there was an attempt to hide, suppress, dismiss, and et cetera, the disappearance of maybe as much as $1.3 million. And Mr. Allen and his team of investigators have uncovered some names of some people who were on the board who, quote-unquote, disappeared. Mr. Allen, are you ready to roll that up for us and for him?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to cut this up like I want to, but I just want to play a little bit of here, maybe like a minute and a half. But just go ahead and listen to this.
Yeah.
Okay, I just hit play.
And thanks, everybody, for coming out today.
That's Mr. Al Flowers introducing. Drop the mic.
Proposed credit union. It's not even to appear It has not been an operating entity. The Association for Black
Economic. I'm going to stop there, Mr. Edwards and M. He said, quote, the credit union is not even an operating entity. Now, let's go back. December 2018, Black-owned credit union closer to opening. NPR did a big, huge spread on that.
Yes.
Then the importance of diversity in credit unions in December 2018. Then let's move to May of this year when this stuff first started happening. The black community didn't catch wind of any of this at all whatsoever, that they were in trouble, that there was money granted, exchange, signatures, and that there was some alleged misappropriation of management, funds, people, and policy. If you listen to this video of the credit union meeting provided us by Mr. K.G. Wilson, thank you very much, sir, you will see that the people speaking are all kind of nonprofit folks with, to me, little to zero business acumen. And my biggest takeaway from everybody that spoke there was that, hey, we did not know that this was going on. We did not understand. And if you're opening a bank or a credit union, you have to be on the board, you're advising, you're doing whatever. You need to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, and these people have to report to you and explain your ongoing means. That's an accounting term. And this did not happen. And people are not, this is not making news or publicity because it's black. It's making news or publicity because, like Thor Construction, like many black agencies in North Minneapolis that are celebrated for a year and then crumble the following year, you know, this is heading into that direction again.
Bad state of affairs. So bad state of affairs. And, you know, if I could just add, you know, in this article today, you know, it's one of the, apparently from this meeting, you know, it quotes this Mr. Malcolm Wells, but it also quotes another individual who got up and said that he commends, you know, that this will pass and we'll get a good application, we'll get it in. And
that was William
gentleman
English,
that,
was that William English who made that statement?
The name of Bill English popped up, and he was listed as the consulting project director for the University of Minnesota Northside job creation team. So when I looked up the job creation team, I mean, it looks like this thing is just going right around in a circle. I mean, I see people like Evel, I see Bill English, it's like this: the money goes into a pot, but it doesn't come out to the veins. It doesn't go out to support these issues. I mean, as Mr. Allen brought up back in December, they said that they had this thing together and they were ready to do it. And here we're almost a year later, and we've seen nothing. And the mayor, part of this article, still says he's in support of doing this, and he's not going to give him any money until they blah, blah, blah. But it sounds like they have gotten money, and how can you be in support of something?
Well, let me cut in on that so that our listening audience is absolutely up to speed. The mayor of the city of Minneapolis was quoted 3 weeks ago by the Minneapolis Star Tribune as having to confirm, because of certain requirements, that he ordered $50,000 in mid-2018 to be given to the romantic couple. And I kept hearing in the Intercept that Mr. Allen and I have possession of, I kept hearing reference to black. Well, the chief financial officer, who was initially discharged by the now mysterious board, was the person who couldn't account for the initial $50,000. And when I saw the mayor's statement, gentlemen, about not a single penny, I was on a program with a Mr. Lenny Chisholm at KMOJ, and I was kind of interested on I heard Mr. Flowers. But I was on a program on financial, whatever it was called, and there's a gentleman there who is a African-American banker and et cetera. His name was Johnson, if you will. A.C. Johnson, is that correct, Mr. Allen?
Yes.
A.C. Johnson. And Mr. Johnson pointed out that there's clear documentation that shows that the $500,000, as well as the $50,000, was, quote-unquote, delivered to this entity, which now, as both of you gentlemen have pointed out, and the Tates, and by the way, there were a number of undercover officers in that meeting, because let us not forget, contrary to what Mr. Wells kept saying about misinformation and et cetera, a formal complaint was filed with the Minneapolis Police Department. They've been trying to pressure the mayor to get Chief Arredondo not to investigate the case. I don't know where that stands at this moment, because, again, we're not supposed to, quote-unquote, know anything about it, talk about it, and et cetera. But this matter is now under investigation, as is Thor Construction, is now under investigation by the federal authorities. And as I understand it, the Office of the U.S. Attorney for the Federal District of Minnesota. So I just want to get that in, as we're talking about this, because Mr. English and others made it appear that this was just some stuff made up. Could you give us the title again, please, of Mr. English? If he carries a significant array of responsibilities, obligations.
Quite a resume, yes. Gentleman has quite a resume. And I'm quoting the paper now. This isn't coming. I'm quoting word for word.
Yes.
Star Tribune, an article by Marissa Evans. Bill English, consulting project director for the University of Minnesota Northside Job Creation Team, commended board members for being accountable.
Now, let me just say this, sir. I appreciate it. This is what Mr. Allen and I, and we reported on this in a very kind of clever way back in the summer, this past summer. That was consistent, Mr. Allen, with a conversation we overheard between Mr. English and a young lady that he was, I guess, working with at a downtown supper club on a Saturday,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken. Is this the same William English?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yes, sir.
I'm
yes,
sure
sir.
It is. Same William English that somehow has popped up on the board of Sebethany Community Center, which is, you know, in my estimation, is really kind of swimming in some very shallow water right now.
Some poop,
yes,
actually.
Yes,
and
yes.
And I need to read this.
That's
gentlemen, let me read this. It says, failure from a story in the Star Tribune this morning titled Group Behind Minneapolis Blackleg Credit Union Files to Press On. This is an important thing that you have to read and you have to understand. Failure to open by the end of 2019 will mean foregoing the $500,000 Minneapolis pledge to help Village Financial open. That includes $410,000 of forgivable loan provided certain benchmarks, including opening a brick-and-mortar location, are met. We have under 90 seconds left in the show. Mr. Edwards, I want to let you know.
Don, did they get the money?
Yeah,
it's saying that it's committed.
They got time. Yes, they got the money. Yeah.
So.
And here's how they got the money. They got the money on the loan, and then loan the money to their buddies. Oh, look out now. We got to go, Jim. We look forward to you. Give us a call next week. We want to further explore this and find out who all the principal people are that are involved in, quote-unquote, this exercise. By the way, you listen closely to the police tape of the meeting. You can hear our good friend William English speaking from the floor.
U-Rock somehow was part of this. Something called U-Rock.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I know they were.
I'm
sure. But the meeting was at Reverend McAfee's church. But anyway, we'll sort it out. You're absolutely on point, Em. All right, James Brown's going to take us home, buddy. Come take us home.
Thanks for listening.